appreciate, like, so grateful for them. Like, they do such a good job. Hold on, that's me. It's because I didn't have this thing in my back pocket. Man, I am so grateful for them. They, thank you. I feel so far. We're gonna scoot this forward. I can't do this. How many people's gym membership has been kind of sitting, getting dusty besides mine for the last month or two? Yeah, that's okay. We're having fun with family, right? Well, let's pray. And you guys can open up your Bibles to Exodus chapter 2 and 3. That's where we're going to camp out. We're going to tell a story today. 11:11. Praise God. Father God, in Jesus' name, we love you so much. We thank you. We thank you for loving us, dying for us, giving us a new life in you, a fresh start every day in you. We thank you for each other as friends and as church family. We thank you for the team in life that we've had to just run this race with. And I pray that you would just show us who to reach out to, connect with, encourage. Jesus, have your way. Have your way in this message today. We give you full reign. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I am probably going to do a series because I think I got enough for round two next Sunday. It gives me an excuse to not go long today. and it's called New Beginnings, Part 1. New Beginnings, Part 1, Divine Reset. A divine reset. I had just a word from the Lord about that, a divine reset. It was a couple months into last year, and I hung to that. You ever hear something from the Lord and you hold on to it? I was like, God, you are divinely resetting my life. So this is probably a message, and I'm not sure how much I'm going to share, so we'll see. You know, we like to throw my notes out a lot. But this is a message really close to my heart. It's not just because we're turning the page into a new year, but sometimes, see, I don't have any analogies up today, so, you know, no props. So just pretend like there's a calendar here for my friends that like my props. So New Beginnings, Part 1, A Divine Reset. There is just something about fresh starts and new beginnings, right? That just fills your heart with joy. There's an expectation of something new. And for all of you people that like smartphones, my friend Emily, like, okay, I have this friend. Her name is Emily. And all things that are smart, I go to her because she's real smart with stuff like that. So I get stressed out sometimes when I open up a new phone because I don't know how to work it. But I have a friend, Emily. And so we'll spend the day together. And it's been great. But how many people, when you open up a brand new phone, you get, like, really excited? It's your brand new iPhone. Who's like, a Droid user? Raise your hand. Okay, I'm a Droid person because I drop my phone all the time and them iPhones are expensive. How many of you are iPhone people? Okay, so you open up your new phone. There's this anticipation of all the cool stuff it can do. How many people, the smell of a new car? You know that new car smell? I've never had one of those, but I enjoy driving in other people's new cars. I'm like a newer used car person. So, but I still get really excited about that. Let's see what else. How about, okay, ladies. You know when you get a really good deal on an outfit? Like, real good deal. You know, I'm a Gabe shopper, so, like, you know, like, you get a shirt that was originally $70 for $10, baby, and I only had to sew on one button, and you put it on, and it's like, I'm looking good, and you pop the tag off, and you're like, I own this. This is my outfit. It's a joyful celebration of something brand new. All right, I need some man analogies out there. All right, I got this one from Nevin. When your team gets a first-round draft pick. Yeah, okay. How about that one? All right, for my gamers out there, you get a brand new video game and it just happens to fall on a 3-day weekend to conquer it. And how about this one? New baby in the family. And you shout it from the rooftops. You have 1,000 pictures on social media and you open up for those that still have wallets. Just, you know, 1,000 pictures fall out. That is something to celebrate. We love new things. We gravitate towards them. We like to celebrate the newness of life and new beginnings in a new year. I don't know about you, but I got really excited, especially last year, about ripping that calendar page off. Anybody's like, rest in peace. Rip the calendar page off. Rest in peace, 2019. That's how I feel about 2018. I was like, bye-bye. I'll burn you. So I want to share that I had to walk out this message that I'm sharing to you today. Come on, right? My friend Rachel's like, we're going to laugh through this. But 2018, I was like, bonfire, baby. Rest in peace. We're done with you, calendar. And amen. How many people are excited to tear the calendar page off? It is 2020. We're just going to round up 2020, baby. 2020. How many people had a doozy of a year? Yeah, let's be honest. We are not that lying church. Everything just rainbows and sunshine. It was just perfect. Come on, it was rough. It's okay. It's okay. That was my 2018. You know, sometimes like when people, it's so funny when they drop the ball or the pickle or I don't know, they do the rose out here. And they're like, you just think it takes forever. And I don't know about you, but it was like awkward flashbacks of the entire year. You're like thinking back over the year. I was like, I don't want to remember it. We're good. Something about like looking back sometimes causes regret. And regret, man, if you don't take those thoughts captive, can go down the spiral of depression and all kinds of nasty that Satan likes to get you into. So there's a golfing term. How many people golf? I mini golf. I'm good at mini golfing. Like, I'm in it. called a mulligan, right? Did I pronounce it right? Where's my friend Scott? Yes. Did I do it right? Yes. So a mulligan. And so basically it's what happens when you do a terrible shot. So how many people like me are terrible at golf? My sister's like good at everything. So I'm just like the leftover on this one. So, you know, you swing and it's just embarrassing. Maybe it cracks somebody else in the head. It goes in the pond. It's just like, please don't put that one on social media. And there is an unofficial rule and it's called, you can call it a mulligan. And it basically means that we just scratch it, pretend like it never even happened and you get a redo. I think God created that. I think actually, that, you know, I don't know about the game of golf, but I think he like downloaded that idea. And so it's essentially a divine reset. It's a second chance at a major blunder in life. How many people in their life have had a couple major blunders besides myself? Yes. Like things that you could just, you know, those like tied out, white out pens, you know, just white it out, wash it, just totally eradicate it, except there's social media. And then you have to like go back and delete things for like 20 years. Fun times. So you ever wish you could just start over and do it all again? All over. So maybe it is, it could be a strained relationship you have with a son or daughter. Could be, maybe you had a falling out with a friend or a family member. Maybe it's that one time you wish you had just shut your mouth. That is like the story of my life. Why did I say that? That is going to take so much to clean up. How many people, like, your greatest strength, your mouth, is also your greatest weakness? That's me. Do a lot of apologizing. It's good to apologize. Getting a clean slate on that one. Could be in your career path, your education. Maybe you went back to school and just so much stuff hit the fan and you were just not able to do that. Maybe there's money lost in there. Could be a marriage, could be a job, or how about just a bad financial decision? I had a friend that invested in zippers. Yeah, there was like a fancy zipper and they threw all of them and their wife's like money into this investment and it like totally bombed. And he's like, yep, so we don't own our house. And I said, that's okay. You know, we just sometimes make bad decisions, right? Not our intention, just bad stuff, right? So there's this cool thing that God created. It's called a divine reset. It's this incredible scratch it do-over where he resets this button in your life. So in gaming, this is my other research with Nevin. Okay, so we know, so how many people were like raised on Atari and Super Mario Brothers? You know, this was, I am 38. I am like literally rounding up towards 40 in my life. But there's this new term. Okay, there's my friend Jared. Okay. You know this one. So there's this term called respawn. So basically, let's just say you're playing Call of Duty and, you know, you just get creamed, you know, and you just die out there. You're bleeding out there and it's just embarrassing. And you hit this button called respawn. And basically, it sets you back up with a brand new life. You get full ammunition. You can apparently change your weapon at this point in the game. And you get a whole fresh start to, like, kick tail. Sound good? Yeah. Come on. I'm looking for some man analogies here. All right. God gives us a reset, a divine reset button in our life. It's part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Did you know there is no mess you can make that God just can't clean up and make something beautiful out of? Did you know your past is not held against you in the court of God? Because all you have to do is call in the name of Jesus. He says, oh, I love you. Let's just reset this. Let's just redo. And I thank Jesus for this reason. We're starting a new year. How many people are excited about a new year? Amen. Fresh start, divine reset, a new season. And you don't actually have to turn the calendar page to get one of those. Did you know you can have a divine reset, a fresh start right now with Jesus Christ? All we have to do is call on his name and say, Jesus, I messed up. I just blew that. I messed up that relationship. I messed up that work opportunity. I shouldn't have said that to my spouse. Lord Jesus, just forgive me. And he said, I forgave you. I forgave you 2,000 years ago. Let's hang out. And he gives you a fresh start. And he says this, let's see here. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ, how many people have given your life to Jesus? Anyone that belongs to Christ has become a new person, a new creation. Old life is gone. and a new life has begun. You know, sometimes we think about that just like the first day we gave our life to Jesus. But you know, every day is a new day with him. Every day. His mercies are renewed every day. Every day we can have a fresh start in Jesus Christ. It's the power of the gospel. Does that sound kind of crazy to you? It's kind of ridiculous. Did you know what the gospel means? It means the almost too good to be true news. It's crazy talk. It's crazy talk. Jesus coming and forgiving us of everything, past, present, and future, and remaking our life and giving us a new life in him. It sounds bananas, but it's the truth. It's worth preaching. And you know, that's what he wants to preach through you. So whether, you know, you had a mulligan, you just blew something out of the water. Maybe, you know, it's interesting. We sang that song about the woman with the alabaster jar. Maybe you just blew a long season of your life. It could be like that 10-year gap that you wish nobody remember, and everybody's still whispering about it in your family and in your community. That's why you don't go to the high school reunion. That and crazy stuff happens, right? Well, it doesn't matter, because Jesus gave you a brand new start, and he wants to be glorified through your life in a brand new start. Colossians 3, 1 through 3 says this: since you have been raised, everybody say raised, to a new life, to a new life, amen, with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Jesus sits. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of the earth. Does that say think about the drama? Think about the regret? Think about the disappointment? Think about the people that have hurt you? No. It says put your thoughts on the things of heaven. Put your thoughts on the God thoughts. In fact, actually, it's interesting. It's the higher way of thinking, right? It's above the muck and the drama and the dirt in life. For you have died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ Jesus in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So this is interesting. When we get raised to a new life in him, when we start seeing our life as brand new, no matter what you did 15 seconds ago when you yelled at your kid in the car because they threw up Cheerios everywhere, you know, no matter what stupid thing happened on your way to church, there's a new life in him. And when we share our new life with other people, he is glorified. Because when they see a new life in us where our past doesn't define us, that brings hope to the world. That brings light to the world. That brings Jesus, the gospel, to the world. And, you know, a lot of us need to start rethinking. I shouldn't say this again. Redreaming. Yes. I just see this stirring in me with this message. It's just time to start dreaming with God again. You know, a lot of us, you know, I'm middle-aged at this point. I'm pushing 40. And my dreams that I had in high school or in my 20s are different than my dreams now. And that's not a bad thing, because God's mercies are renewed every day. And I've changed. My desires have changed. How I see myself has changed. How I see other people has changed. How I see the world, the community, the family, the church he's given me. I'm different. It's just good to be different. So we got to learn to dream again. And it's a good thing if those dreams have changed, because that means we are growing. And I just wanted, it was something I did all last year, because remember, I just went, you know, if I had a light, that's what I should do. I should get a calendar and burn it. Just burn up, you know, 2018, right? Mom's like, what are you doing in my church? You get water right there. I've done that. I've put like road flares and trash cans in the church and run them outside. It's a bad decision. and you just got to start dreaming with God again. That's what he told me last year. He said, I want you to just start dreaming with me again. I just want you to curl up with the word, throw on some worship music. And I like putting on Bethel Spontaneous Worship, because they're just new songs that kind of just come up in the moment. And I'd curl up with my Bible and I'd read a little bit and I'd just put my head back. And sometimes I'd fall asleep with Jesus. It's a great place to go. You know, if you fall asleep in your father's arm as a kid, he's happy, right? If you fall asleep reading the word, you fell asleep in your father's arms and he is so happy you're there with him. I don't care if you get one scripture in and you're dreaming with Jesus, okay? But I would daydream with him. I would just daydream about a new life. Lord God, what does my new life look like now? What is my fresh start? What is my divine reset? Hit that respawn button look like. Where do I go from here? And it's not in a lack of options kind of way. It was like, I've been reborn. I was born again at the age of 5. I gave my life to Jesus. But how many people just have to give your life to him almost every day? Good morning. Good morning, Holy Spirit. What do you want to do today? Good morning, Lord. What do you want to talk to me about? How about this? What if you wake up and go to sleep saying, good morning, Lord, what's your dream for me today? Ephesians 3, 20 through 21 says, now to him who is able, my God is able. There is no mess you can make that God can't clean up. To carry out his purposes and do super abundantly. Abundant means overflowing. Super abundantly is water parks spray you everywhere. Everyone is soaked. And super abundant goodness, blessing, grace, mercy, kindness, love, miraculous fresh starts. That is God's super abundance. It gets other people around you wet. Remember the overflow spirit life? Spirit-filled life. More than all that we can dare ask. Some of you guys got to start asking again. Some of you guys think you are not deserving of certain things. But you, none of us deserve anything, right? Mercy and grace is, mercy is not getting a punishment that you deserve. Mercy is throughout the word. Grace is getting something so good, a superabundant blessing that you don't deserve, that only people look at your life and go, that's not natural. That just doesn't happen. That is crazy. That is miraculous. That is, and you say, Jesus. That's so bananas of the goodness of God in your life. That's got to be Jesus. All right. Or think infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, our hopes, our dreams. We need to start dreaming again. Lord God, what is your dream for me this year, 2020, even today? According to his power, which is grace, God's divine empowerment to do and be Jesus here on the earth. That is at work within us. So it is at work currently in you. The word of God does not return void. It will accomplish what it's set out to do. So if you are, okay, this is fast. How many people like, I'm going to eat healthy this year? Yeah, right. Yeah, it's goals, okay? You know, when you ingest healthy food, you eat the broccoli, but whatever, you know, it's good for you. You don't see the change right away, but it's nourishing your body. Your body is drawing nutrients from it. And in time, we become healthier, right? All right, so God's grace is always working within us. His word is always working within us when we ingest it in faith. To him be the glory in the church in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever and ever. Do you know God wants to be glorified in your life? He does. Because you don't deserve it. That means he gets extra glorified. If you made a royal mess of your life, he gets more glory. The messier and the stupid and like the dumbest, like, wow, I can't believe you did that, says society. And God works things out and works it for good and puts your family back together and gets you a career, pays off your house burns to the ground on Christmas Eve. Come on. And God gives you a new house. Right, Mark and Denise? Yeah. I share that story. Your testimony glorifies God of his goodness. Goodness. Satan tried to burn down their house on Christmas Eve. Sucker. Well, I guess God's going to have to do something glorious above and beyond your highest dreams and imaginations. Like if you want to get a really cool story for them, what God did in their new house. And every single 11 animals were saved. Didn't lose a single animal in that fire. And a parakeet. Okay. God rest his soul. Okay. But God is so good. All right. So it's time to ask God, number one, for a God's eye view of your life. That means you can't get the view of looking down in the mud and the drama in the past and looking back and regret. God is looking at you going, oh, I'm going to remake something good out of your life. I'm going to remake something glorious out of your life. I'm going to give you such a mind-blowing testimony that God goes, people go, whoa, you can, that happened to you? Yeah, Jesus did this. I want to hear more about your story. So I guess you're going to hear more about him. We got to get the God's eye view of things. Amen. We got to stop looking back at the grave and the dead past, and we have to speak life. And there's something I might preach on. I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to talk about next week. But, you know, I went through a couple months. There's this story in Ezekiel chapter 37 of the Valley of Dry Bones. So I could probably preach that 45 minutes. But I would just cry and say over my life, these bones will live. I'd read that story of a wiped out army of nothing you can see is just bones. These bones shall live. No matter how dry and how dead and how depressing it looks and how much pity society is giving you, I would breathe and I'd say, these bones of my life will live and rise and glorify God.
I had to say it over and over and over until I believed it. Because the only one that's got to believe it is you. We've got to prophesy over these things. It says this, Philippians 3, verse 13. It says, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what is ahead. You know what? Forgetting what lies behind is also forgiving what lies behind. Let it go. Let them go. Let it go. Let society go. Let just every disappointment, no matter what it is. Gotta let it go. We're gonna have to forgive. You gotta forgive yourself, number one. How many people are real good beating themselves up? I'm real good. I'm better at beating myself up than other people, to be honest with you. It's just my personality type. Gotta forgive yourself. I was such an idiot. Welcome to life of dumb decisions, okay? Forgive yourself. You gotta forgive others. The Bible says to bless those that despitefully use you. Despitefully, that means they knowingly are taking advantage of you. They knowingly are hurting you. They knowingly have abused you. God says, bless them. I remember someone that hurt me so bad. It was back in college that all I could say was, bless them, Lord, for about 6 months. Bless them good. Bless them real good. And then I got to, you know, I could like mean it in my heart. And then I would like bless them in their career path, bless them in their family. I knew their dad was sick. Hurting people hurt people. And I just had to bless them until finally I'd hear their name and it didn't bug me anymore. It wasn't that on the inside, you know. You know, how many people got some names like that? When you hear that name, you're like, you know. It says to bless them, to pray for them. And I had someone that really hurt me of recent, and I just would, Lord God, I just bless them. And then I got to a point, it's like, Lord God, I pray for healing in their life. And then I got to the biggest blessing of all. God, I just pray that they would fulfill the call of God on their life. And I meant that. God, I just bless them, bless their finances, bless their soul, their mind, their will, their emotions. Lord God, I thank you are healing them in every area of their life. And Lord God, I pray they fulfill the call of God on their life. It took me a while to work up to that. But that is forgetting what is behind and straining forward towards the future. You got to let some things go. It's a purposeful decision. Because God's going to give you this story, and this story is meant to reach others. And when we pray, Romans 8:28 says this, in the context of prayer, when we pray, heartfelt, passionate prayers in the Holy Spirit, he promises to rework all things together for good. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says this, he has made everything, everybody say everything, no matter how messy, no matter how dirty, no matter how embarrassing, he has made everything beautiful in its own time. Now his timing, I don't know about you, if I found, my timing is very different than God's timing. The way I want something done is always very different than the way he tends to do it. Well, okay. All right. So I got to let it go. Let it go. That I hate Frozen. Shh, don't tell the kids. Can't stand that movie. But let's sing the song. Let it go. Okay, whatever. You know, I'll name that the next one. Terrible, terrible. Poor parents, Frozen. They put out a Frozen 2. The songs are going to be eternalized. Okay. So moving on. So he makes everything beautiful in his own time. And it says, he has set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Which is why we need to start dreaming with God, because you need to start dreaming what God is going to do with your life from beginning to end. And make something so beautiful that was so messy, beautiful in his timing. God, make my life beautiful. What does beautiful look like? It's a mess right now. It's going to sing of his glory. Sometimes we got to let God in the box. We want him to do things a certain way. But, you know, there's this free will thing. You know, everybody's got free will. It is their choice to go with what the Lord is pulling on their heart to do. So let it go. Let him go. And let God do his thing out of the box in your life and his timing. And it'll be miraculous. It'll be blessing. It'll be vindication. Because Isaiah 61 verse 3. And I had to read that. I probably read this chapter probably every other day for an entire year. Isaiah 61 verse 3, stick your name in it. Just stick your name in it. It's the one Jesus stuck his name in. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to set captives free, to heal the brokenhearted. But if you move forward in verse 3, it says, he gives a crown of beauty for ashes and joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair.
That's a lot of contradicting things. Beauty for ashes. I wasn't planning on saying this, but come on. Your house burns to the ground on Christmas Eve. That's a lot of ashes. But God resurrects something so beautiful. Above and beyond your highest hopes, dreams, and imaginations. We got to get off this timeline. God, it needs to look this good at this time by New Year's, because it's going to be sad unless it looks this good by this time, by this certain timeline. Get off your timeline. Just get off it. Nothing happens fast in the Bible. Very rarely. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it does. But if you really read the thing, you should really read your Bible. Just being honest with you. You know, I'll say this. You know, Satan likes to really lie and mess with your head when there's delays. You know, he'll get you in delay, and then you start analyzing your life and picking it apart, and then you move into regret and beating yourself up, and then hopelessness comes on, and then despair and depression, and then, you know, you just laying on your floor. I'm not going out on New Year's because my life's a wreck. I just want to wake up to 2020. I've been there. That was my last year. I was like, New Year's, forget you. I'm going to wake up in 2019, you know? you know, he just likes to mess with your head, and he says things are a permanent loss, that you will never, ever do this. You will never, ever rebuild. You'll never, ever get married or remarried. You're never, ever going to own your own house. You're never, ever going to be able to have children. You're never, ever going to, goodness, I'm trying to think, retire. That's like a big deal these days, right? You know, Satan lies to us and gets in our head about those things. But we have to stand on the promises of God and take every thought captive. What does that mean? Like, if I had a tennis racket up here and somebody's shooting those tennis balls at me, I'd take that tennis racket and be whacking them. I don't even care about my form. I am just not going to get hit in the head with one of those stupid balls. That is taking your thoughts captive. That is aggressively smacking down every dumb, depressing, regretful thought that comes at you and replacing it with the word of God. And you got to find the promises of God and you got to hold on to them. Like I did, these bones will live. My life will live and sing of the glory of God. And you got to find promises in your word. And I have like a zillion promises in this script, in this message. We'll probably go to next week. But Psalms 27 verse 13 was one I really stood on. And it says, I remain confident of this. My uncle used to always say, faith is confidence in God. Faith is confidence in God. I remain confident of this. I remain in faith for this. I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I would declare this over my life all the time. People like, you know, swing low, sweet chariot, come back and take me home. All they think about is heaven. I don't think about heaven. I just don't. You know, my nieces sometimes ask me, where's your dad at? I said, well, they're in heaven. You know, like they're in heaven with some people that have gone before me. I am not rushing on that experience because I am dreaming with God about the life that will sing of his glory for the now. Because I get like one adventure. One big lifelong adventure of like, I don't know, 120 years, 95 years. I don't know. I just want to be real smart upstairs and, you know, be running around, you know. So whatever it is, we got one big adventure. And we will see the goodness of God in this lifetime. Give him some time. We're going to talk about Moses today, by the way. So open up to Exodus chapter 2. I will see the goodness of God in this lifetime. Well, you can just say this. My life is not good. That's what I mean. Last year, I was like, my story is terrible. My story does not give God glory. It is embarrassing. It is messy. It is so public. And I wasn't planning on sharing any of this, but the Lord spoke to me. He's like, I was like, what do you want to do? He said, share your story a little bit. I was like, oh, really? All right, let me do it honorably. But I'll just say this. I was like, my story was not good. It did not glorify God. It stank. It was messy. But God wasn't done yet. I was just in the middle of my story. So the Bible says this, he will work all things together for good. So if your story is poop, if it stinks, if it's terrible, if it's embarrassing and it doesn't give God glory yet, guess what? You are not done. You are just in the middle of it and everybody is on the sidelines that's really on your team and they are cheering for you. This church was cheering for me. Why? Because we will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. So, you know, when you're in the middle of a game, like you're a football game, who's your favorite team? Shout it out. Go. Ravens. All right. I heard Eagles, Ravens. Okay. So they're both against each other. You know what side you're on. Okay. And your team is getting its rear end handed to them, man. And like your in-laws are there and they're cheering for the other team. So your team really needs to win. And it is
looking bad. But what are you going to do? You're going to cheer because you're on their team. And you know what? The best game, the most boring game ever, is when your team just wins by 1,000 points. It's just like snooze fest. You know, you might as well just go home early. But, you know, when it's neck and neck against your greatest rival, your in-laws are on, you know, you're like, come on! We will say the goodness of God in the land of the living. We are going to the Super Bowl, which is the first Sunday in February. Please come to church, you know, order pizza, and then go cheer for your team. All right, so I get really loud. I'm the loudest one in my family. So if your story's not good yet, God's not done yet. People are cheering for you in your story. God will redeem your story. Your story means he's going to buy it back no matter how messy it is. Yeah, there's I have a boyfriend, and just get you to know, he has a wood shop, and I wasn't planning on sharing this, but his greatest like happy place is after work. He's had the worst day in the world. He goes to his wood shop, and he gets like some gnarly piece of wood that he normally finds like in people's burn piles, or some, you know, junky piece of wood in the woods, and he'll get it and he'll reclaim it and make something really beautiful out of it. So he'll make like a bowl out of a fallen log. He makes cool stuff. He's made furniture, and he gets really excited when he gets a gnarly piece of wood from someone's wood pile, and he just puts it and like sands it down until the grain comes out and it shines, and he makes something beautiful of it. Do you know that's what God likes to do from your life? Like, when you read the Bible, he went to the trash dump. He went to the burn pile, and he handpicked his disciples going, that is messy and gnarly, and Peter, you are a train wreck. Come be on my team. I'm just going to sand you down and make something so beautiful of your life. That God's going to go, whoa, Peter, you remember what he used to be like? Yeah, yeah, God did something big and cool with him. This is the greatness of the gospel. If your story's not good, God's not done yet, right? You're just in the middle of your story. And people want to hear a persevering story. Remember, we like the football games where it's neck and neck and it's not looking good. And at the very end, somebody throws some Hail Mary and we just win it all Rudy style. You know, like, you know, whatever it is. All right, so Moses needed a new beginning like us, right? All right, so Moses. So who's Moses? So you can go rent Prince of Egypt and watch it with your family and eat popcorn, but I'll give you the cliff notes. So Moses was this guy who lived a long time ago in a faraway place, and God called him to set an entire nation of the Hebrews, the Israelite nation, free from slavery in Egypt. And we don't have time to talk about slavery, but if you can at least study American history, slavery, it is one of the greatest atrocities that was ever invented by Satan himself. Horrific. And this is thousands of years ago with no accountability. You know, there's just nothing good to say about it, but it was so socially acceptable back then. It's sickening to my stomach to think about that. And he would look out and he would know that there was a purpose in his life to stop that. So the Lord grabbed Moses and he led him into a new beginning, which overflowed into a new beginning for the entire nation of Israel, to take them out of slavery and bring them towards the promised land. But before this could happen, Moses himself needed a new beginning. Straight up, read his story. It's really cool. So if you read it in Exodus chapter 2 and 3 and just read the whole thing, keep reading. There's a long story short, but Moses kind of made a big mistake in life that seemed to ruin his life. Anybody ever made a big mistake that people are like, there is no coming back from that financially? You're going to have to declare bankruptcy. You're never going to own your own home. Sorry. He made a mistake that started out innocent and it seemed to ruin his life. So Moses, he was born as a Hebrew, and it's a long story, but he got adopted as the Prince of Egypt. Go! Don't just watch the movie, read the Bible. The Bible's actually accurate. but like I said, deep down inside, do you ever have something that really angers you? Well, that's the flesh way. But if you see something that really drives you nuts, like religion drives me nuts. I declare war in religion. It just, not religions, but just... But how do you, religion is man's attempt to get a hold of God and box him and just push it on everybody else. We got to look a certain way, talk a certain way, and you can't do that in church and all that stuff. Drives me nuts. So whatever drives you nuts is probably what God has called you to redeem. But not in your flesh, not in anger and rage and ranting and social media nasty posts. I don't know the government this. You know, okay, there's a God's way of redeeming things, all right? All right. But that's normally part of your purpose in life. What really upsets you, if it's an injustice or something in society or abuse or just even like people losing their homes, that just angers you. Or Miss Gerald and Mr. JC, family's going hungry. Waiting in line, having to fill out all these forms and not getting food. Well, that got redeemed in a beautiful way. So God will take something that makes you mad, something that went through that was not okay in any way, and he'll redeem your story. He hated the oppression of slavery of his people, the Hebrews, but he didn't know where to start. He wasn't, number one, if you read back with Moses, he wasn't walking with God. He didn't really know his voice, but it was making him really mad. So he took matters into his own hands, and he made a royal mess of his life. You know, sometimes we try to push to make things happen. I am a pusher. If you know me, I'm a little pushy. Right, Mom? I'm working on it. I'm redeeming my life. redeeming my personality. I'm a pusher. I'm a racehorse. I'm like kicking the dirt to go fix something, change something, help something. And, you know, sometimes we can push open that racetrack door. You know, we just get ahead of God and I just made a mess of it because I just got out of his timing and false start. That's a good way of saying that. Yep. And sometimes the consequences of us getting ahead of God or pushing to make things happen is we hurt ourselves. We hurt other people. We do something the wrong way. We set it the wrong way. Our intentions were good. My motive was love, but you said it mean. Okay. All right. All right, working on that. All right, so let's go back to Exodus. Exodus chapter 2, 11 through 15. All right, it says, in the course of time, Moses grew up. And then he went to see his own people and watched them suffering under the hand of forced labor, slavery. He saw a Hebrew, one of his own people, being beaten. And it must not have been just like slapped upside the head. It must have been horrific for him to do what he did. So he looked around, and when he didn't see anyone, he beat that Egyptian to death. I think, honestly, sometimes in our anger and our passion, we get in our flesh, our unredeemed nature, and it goes too far and it hurts somebody. It can mess up our life. You know, it's interesting you hear about like stories of someone trying to defend someone. Maybe they get, I won't go into it, thanks, Lord. But if someone jumps you and your wife and you're walking to your car, you're going to hit them with everything that has. But sometimes it goes too far. It could take someone's life. All right, so then he hid the body in the sand. And when Moses went the same place the next day, so he went to that village part where the Hebrews lived, he saw two Hebrew men fighting each other. Hello, church. You ever seen two people fighting each other in church? Come on, y'all. Suing each other in church? Y'all Christians. The world looks better than us sometimes. We like Jerry Springer up in here. Come on. I've had fights in the parking lot. We're working on it. So listen, in church, we shouldn't be fighting each other, right? We do and say stupid things, but that's why we got to forget the past and just what? Forgive. We will fight. We will, you know, it happens. But we got to forgive each other, move forward. So we saw two Hebrews fighting each other and asked one of them who started the fight, why are you beating another Hebrew? Why are you fighting your own team? Why are you fighting your own family? Why are you fighting another Christian? And the man asked, who made you our ruler and judge anyway? This is the Message translation. Are you going to kill me like you killed the other Egyptian? Get off your high and mighty horse. You do you. Get out of my business. All right. Then Moses was afraid and thought that everyone knew what he had done. I was hanging out with some friends last night, and her son was getting bullied at school. It was in West York, all right? Her son was getting bullied in school, and he's like this small guy. And there's this guy that had a head bigger than him and a whole, like, probably 60 pounds on him. And he was picking on him and all the other kids in school. So he got outside, and he got as far away from the school as possible. It wasn't quite far enough. Threw his glasses off and just went wailing and won. Okay? But he saved his glasses. I'm not glorifying fighting. All right? But not glorifying it. All right. But people recorded it. So I got expelled. So, you know, it's funny, we think it is hard to bury your past these days, right? Somebody tagged you on social media, somebody recorded it. Heck, you recorded yourself. You made a video and you put it out there, and now you can't get a job because they found that. My sister works in HR for a social media firm, and they basically say, if you say and do certain things online, you will not get a job. So all y'all who do your rants and ravings and rah, rah, rah on Facebook, like it actually might hurt your career. It not only does it not glorify God, it can limit you. But thank God, reset, just delete it. You gotta reset your life, okay? So it says Moses was afraid because he basically heard everybody whispering. Remember, like the girl with the alabaster box? Heard them all whispering. So I guess I can't tell people about Jesus. I guess I can't invite people to church. I guess I can't start my own business. I guess I can't have a Bible study because everybody's whispering about my past. Christians even. I had that. I ran into somebody from another church. Good people too. I used to babysit their kids. And I ran into them at a Christian conference. And I was like, hey, you know, to catch up. And I just, you know, caught them up in like the one sentence, you know, your PR phrase, public relations phrase. Catching up on my life, one sentence. I'm like, oh, we heard. We heard. Christians were talking. Shook their head. And I went, their church is like 25 minutes away. What are you talking about? I'm not even that cool. It hurt. Hear people whispering. Made me not want to preach a little bit, you know? That's just Satan, right? You know, it's not people. People just talk, but I got up in my head about it. Get out of your head. Nothing good happens up in here anyway, you know? Just be honest. You're a little dark and twisty sometimes. All right. So Moses was afraid and thought that everyone knew what he had done. And when Pharaoh heard what Moses had done, he tried to have him killed. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and settled into a land of Midian. You ever done something, said something stupid, and somebody goes after you? They're just trying to ruin you at work, trying to get you fired. Trying to steal your best friend, destroy your relationship. Trying to make sure you don't get that building permit. I'm going to make sure you never work in this town again. I've had stuff like that happen. I'm going to make sure you never do ministry in here again. Just Satan. Lying. That lying, filthy thing. Everybody's got their junk. Satan. Okay. So Moses had good intentions, but it went the wrong way. In the flesh, right? His passion turned to a dark temper and got the best of him, and it ruined his life. He started hiding out for 40 years in the wilderness. He ran to a whole other country called Midian, and he actually picked up the dirty job. Did you know Egyptians looked down on shepherds, despised them? They were like the lowliest. So let's be like the garbage man. So Moses, who was a prince of Egypt, said, I'm just going to hide out as a garbage man, as a shepherd, right? And I'm going to hide out for 40 years, running from the pain of my past failures and mistakes, just so people stop talking about me. And he was rejected by everybody. He was rejected by his own blood. His own people rejected him. And then his own country rejected him. And he's hiding out in the backside of the desert as a washed up has-been, running the clock of his life in shame. Can you relate? You ever done something so stupid that you're like, I am never going back into that career field. I lost that account, da-da-da, I messed up that job. You know, just the foundation cracked. I'm going to need to get a new career. But God gave Moses a divine reset, a fresh start. And through the endless love and mercy and grace of God, not only did Moses get a new beginning, so did the entire nation of Israel. When God gives you a new beginning story that you don't deserve, just a series of unfortunate events, and God redeems your story, did you know other people can latch onto that story saying, if God can do that in your life, how much more can he do that in mine? And God spoke to Moses and recommissioned his life to a new mission. So how can we be like Moses and reconnect and walk out a divine reset? By the way, I'm halfway through my notes, so we're definitely preaching next week. Okay, so Exodus chapter 3, 1 through 4. Moses was shepherding the flock of his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the west end, the back end of the desert, and came to the mountain of God. And the angel of God appeared to him in flames of fire, blazing out of the middle of a bush. And he looked, and the bush was blazing away, but it didn't burn up. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him. Moses was kind of at a quiet place, away from distractions. You know, people sometimes hate their wilderness, they hate their desert because just nothing's happening in your life. Well, did you know if you're in a place where nothing's really happening, you're in a quiet place. You're at a place away from distractions. You're at a place that you can hear God. I'm not saying God caused that desert to happen. I'm just saying he'll use your desert because there's no distractions. So if you got laid off, if someone left you, all your kids are in school and you're going out of your mind because I don't know what to do with my life now. Should I go back to school? Should I get a different career? You're in a quiet place. And you know, maybe you open up your Bible and one scripture jumps off the page and highlights. But you just keep plowing through because I got to read like my whole chapter today. But God say, whoa, just stop here. Investigate. Turn aside from the grind. Come seek me. See what I'm trying to say to you right now. You know, we get so busy sometimes. You parents, I'm not a parent right now, but that is hard. And I just think there's a grace on your life to change diapers and do dishes and do laundry with Jesus, where you just pray to him and talk along the way. One of my heroes is Lisa Bevere. You should listen to her. She raised 4 boys as an incredible wife and as an incredible mother and a full-time minister. She just do all that stuff with Jesus. Just talk to him, right? So Moses drew near to God when something kind of caught his eye and turned aside from the daily grind and the busyness and just tuned into the Lord. And he had a burning bush experience. So once God saw that Moses rerouted his priorities, going, God, stop. You know what? You're going to come first right now. I'm just going to reorient my priorities right now in this wilderness season where I'm frustrated and tired and bored and frustrated. And I'm going to just tune into you. It was then that God revealed himself to him. And then the recommissioning, the new assignment, the new mission, the new adventure came. But God's purpose was just to reveal himself, just to build that close relationship with Moses. God will work all things together for good in your wilderness. So God called to him and proceeded to reveal himself. So James chapter 4, it says this, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. You know, there is more of God than you can possibly imagine if we can just stop getting satisfaction from things that don't satisfy us. I love a good sci-fi Netflix binge. Love it. I got 2 that I have no time for right now because I'm in a season that I got to really just hear from God. So I just pretend like they don't exist right now. Because I need to get quiet and hear from him. Because there's more. There's just more. And if your stuff has you, there's nothing wrong with having stuff. But if your stuff has you, we can have stuff and God can bless it. God can use that stuff to help somebody else out. God can use your bass boat to go reach your neighbor because they ain't going to church, but they'll go on your bass boat with you and listen to your story about Jesus. God can use your stuff. But don't let it distract you from him. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you and keep revealing more and more and more of himself. I am so tired of hearing Christians say, I just don't like reading anymore. I just don't like reading my Bible. I was like, that's him. That's like you saying you're like bored with God, which a lot of Christians are. So maybe we just turn off some distractions and enter into a season of fasting. Did I say that? Oh my gosh. Just fast your distractions. Just for the month of January. Most people do it anyway. And just tune out some of distractions till you get so hungry. You get so bored that God's starting to sound good. I do not know what to do with my life without the TV. Or social media. I am so bored. I guess I will spend time with you, Lord. It just starts somewhere. Okay, moving forward. Probably doesn't sound good, but it's honest. Okay, moving forward. So, Moses. Okay, if Moses had carelessly neglected that draw of God, God would have probably given him another chance. Right? Because God's mercies and his loving kindness is renewed every day. And you know, Peter blew it. 3 times blew it. God gave him 3 more opportunities just to get it right. Jonah blew it. Mark blew it, Samson blew it, David real blew it. We'll probably talk about him next week. And God was continually giving more chances. He's a God of second chances, third chances, just eternal chances. Why? Because he just loves you, and that's what dads do. Dads are always rooting for you when we mess up. A good dad is. All right, and he's a good father. So Jesus is constantly drawing on us for our full attention. Always. Whether it's a burning bush sign, just it could be just a scripture that just... That's how it is with me. I'll just read a whole chapter, but one scripture just pops off the page. And I'll look up that one scripture in like 4 different translations. I'll just read it over and over again. These bones will live. These bones will live. I am a new creation. I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I will arise out of this depression and shine for the glory of God. And you say it over and over and over, not mindlessly saying something, vain repetition. Religion does that. I'm going to say it, believe in it. I'm going to say it, believe in it. I'm going to say it, believe in it until I believe it. All right. So 1 Kings 19, 11 through 12. Basically, you can go back and read it, but Elijah was a prophet and he wanted to just hear from God and God drew him up to a mountain away from distractions. And then there was this fire and there was this windstorm and there was this earthquake and all these crazy things were going on. But God said, I'm not in any of these big, big things. I'm not in these spectacular things. And then there was a sound of a gentle, still voice. And the Lord was in the still voice. So if you think you need a burning bush experience, your burning bush experience actually just might be a scripture jumping off the page highlighted into your heart. And we turn aside and go, I'm just going to camp out here for 15 minutes and put my hair in a ponytail. I'm going to camp out here and eat a granola bar on my way to work. And I'm just going to turn aside and say, Lord God, what do you want to talk to me about? What's your dream for me today? Show me your heart, Jesus. I camped out in the book of John for about a good month. Jesus, show me more of you. I camped out in Colossians for the last month. Jesus, I just want to know you in a deeper way. Sometimes I just read that same scripture over and over. That's called meditating, chewing on it till it gets really real. You know, the still small voice requires the most faith. Therefore, it's the most powerful. His will is his word. It's his voice. And when you start getting really clear orientation with his voice, you will actually be able to hear him more clearly because he's always talking to you. But if you're not in the word, you're going to miss it because that's the vocabulary of the Holy Spirit. That's what he sounds like. So we can't rush that experience. So, you know, if I tell my students all the day, if you could just not read your Bible on your phone, it's okay at church. I get it because we can get there faster. I'm great with it. You get there, the scriptures real fast. But can you just put your old school paper falling apart Bible? And if you need one, we got free ones. And just could you put it on top of your pillow? Or if you're like, that's a little weird, I'm going to get made fun of, stick it under your pillow. Because every day you're going to have a choice to move that thing and go to bed without spending time with God. Or you can just take 15 minutes and go, you know what, let's just hang out a little bit. I'm going to turn aside. What does 15 minutes caught you? And to be honest with you, we're going to lay there for 15 minutes rehearsing all the stupid things you did that day. Let's be honest. For all the, you know, how many people got active minds, so it's hard to fall asleep in the past? So I'll tell you this. You spend 15 minutes with God and just say, Jesus, reveal yourself to me. You'll fall asleep faster. Falling asleep with Jesus is great. But you'll save yourself so much tossing and turning. All right. So God first revealed himself to Moses. And then the second assignment came, which was, tell Pharaoh, let my people go, that they may worship me in the desert. When we seek God first, all these things will be added to us. That's a new beginning. So he went from a cowardly murderer to God's chosen vessel. His new beginning overflowed to a new beginning for an entire nation of people. And he also wrote 5 books of the Bible. Did you know a murderer wrote 5 books of your Bible? God likes a messy story. He loves a messy story because it gives him glory. And we're going to talk about probably 3 people in the bloodline of Jesus next week that God took in actually really messy, dumb stuff. There's a prostitute. Did you know one of Jesus' great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmas was like a prostitute? She's like, oh, God's like, I'm going to put her in the bloodline of Jesus so you don't feel so stupid about your life. Moving forward. Youth pastor talk. Sorry. Okay. So what is the whole point of this? Because we're going to wrap it up, do part 2 next week. Your new recommissioning fresh start overflows from your time with God. What comes first, the chicken or the egg? Just seek God just to have some time with him. And what will overflow is a fresh commissioning. It is a new assignment. It is a new adventure. Let me talk about this. Did you know you are never too old and it is never too late for a new adventure in Jesus? Never too old. Did you know Moses spent 40 years doing nothing? 40 years in the wilderness. He goes, he literally settled in Midian. So he did something stupid and embarrassing, and he hid out for 40 years with nothing going on in his life. He got married, had 2 kids, picked up poop with sheep, you know, and he just, that was it. But then he turned aside, and he finally started seeking God. And what happened at the age of 80? Everybody say 80. 80 years old, he got his new adventure. 80 years old. Well, I've done my time in church. I'm just going to sit here on the back row and let them young folk do it. Their young folk are idiots. I'm an idiot sometimes. I need wisdom in my life. All y'all know me. I say and do dumb things. So I get some people with some gray hair around me to keep me from doing dumb things. It's less apologizing. Apologizing is embarrassing. It's hard. But I get like smart people around me that are wise. And you know what? Our church goes to some really powerful, healthy places. Because us young people need aunties. I need uncles in my life. My dad's with Jesus. I need some God wisdom on what to do with my car. My Uncle Jim, I was like, Uncle Jim is doing this thing, and I'm all stressed out. He's like, it's okay. It's this, this, and you did this. I was like, thank you. I need wisdom in my life. We need people in our life with wisdom to help us enter into our promised land. You are the key to a whole generation entering into the promised land because God gave you a story. And if you share your story, it's not a mistake. It's a mistake when we hide it. Satan steals twice. Not only did he mess up something in your life, but then he stole your story in shame. You don't tell people your story? Miss Carolyn wrote a book. Praise God. Oh, no, I just didn't say that. Anyway, write your story. Blog about it. Share it in Bible study. Because then Satan don't steal twice. Right? Satan don't steal twice. If he steals your story, he's stolen from you two times. Moses was 80 years old when he got a new start, fresh commissioning, new adventures with Jesus. Haggai chapter 2, verse 9 says, it's a promise. The glory of your latter years will be greater than your former. Mine was these bones shall live. Yours might be the glory of my latter years is going to be greater than my former. My best adventure is in my gray hair. My best adventure, my greatest influence, the most lives around me are going to change in my latter years. Because that's God's word. It's time to dream again with God. It's time to dream. That's all I want to say again. And I'll say this. When you dream, Lord God, who's on my team? Moses' fresh commissioning was not a solo act. It says we are part of a body in Christ. Your new mission is not a mission where it's just you. No man is an island in the Bible. Do you know God actually brought a team with him? Now, Moses was insecure. He got a flash. I can't do that. And he's like, God's like, okay, you can, but I will give you a team. I'm going to give you Aaron. I'm going to give you your long-lost, estranged blood brother, Aaron. Boom, put him by your side. He's going to help talk for you and help you bring in leadership till I heal that dumb stutter of yours. But don't worry, I call people that can't do it on their own. God calls messy people that are insecure and can't do it on their own. Why? Because he gets glory. But ask him who's on my team. Boom, Aaron comes on this side. Boom, her comes on this side. And during the greatest battle of Moses' life, where he had to hold his hands up so he could win the battle with the nation, cool story, keep reading, he started to get weary, and the battle started to lose. And then Aaron came along this side, held his hands up. Her came along this side and held his hands up. And the strength of the community of believers, this church body, your grow group, your neighbors, the people you need to let into your life. That is why Moses not only won that battle, but the entire nation of Israel won that battle. Who is supposed to be on my dream team? Moses. Did you know it never talked about Moses' biological father? Just didn't. But it talked about Jethro. Jethro was a man of a different nation and a totally different culture. Good to surround yourself with someone from a completely different ethnic culture because it's fun. And they're going to bring some wisdom and insight from another angle to reach more people. And it says Jethro, his in-law, was one of the greatest blessings of his life. Brought counsel and wisdom that affected him and to be able to be a better leader. He also mentored Joshua. He found somebody younger than him and dumber than him and says, let me share my story with you so you don't make all the dumb mistakes that I did. And Joshua rose up to be just an incredible leader. And then there was just Caleb. Caleb was just a faith-filled teammate that says, Moses, I'm going to follow you into the sunset. I got your back. When you dream with God about your fresh commissioning, about your new beginning, about your divine reset, God, who's on my team? Who am I supposed to pour into? Who am I supposed to minister to? Who am I supposed to pray with? Who am I just supposed to gruel out with once a week? Who's on my team? And this is my final thought, and I'll say this. You know, Moses' new beginning overflowed into a new beginning of Israel. But the thing with Israel, this nation of people, is they didn't really make the best use of their new beginning. Because they got so familiar with God's presence that they stopped seeking God. And just said, hey, send Moses up the mountain. You remember last time I preached? Send Moses up the mountain. Pastor D will give me the fresh word. Pastor Sherry's preaching next week. I'll just read my Bible app, you know, a scripture a day, just roll with it. She's going to tell me what God's saying. They got real comfortable with that distance from God, and they let idols come in. They let greed slip in. Fear, bad attitudes, whacked out priorities started slipping in, and it actually stole their fresh beginning, and they didn't earn the promised land. An entire generation missed out on obtaining the full promises of God because they chose continued distance from God. Let's let that not be our story. Huh? What is the whole point of this message? Your new beginning, your divine reset overflows in your relationship with God. You seek Him, and out of that will overflow a new adventure, a new mission, a divine reset. But we can't afford to blow off spending time with God. We can't afford to blow off just being stupid, dumb in worship. Why not? Why not just cry and have snot run down your face? Ask Nevin, normally when God hits, I just have like 4 inches of snot hanging down. I don't even know. He makes fun of me. He's like, you look disgusting. I was like, I know. You know, whatever. Who cares what your worship looks like? Who cares what your prayer looks like? What are you going to do with your new beginning? Your new beginning doesn't start when you rest in peace 2019 at midnight on January 1st. Your new beginning starts every single day. It starts in this moment right now. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to choose a new way for a new day? Are you going to do your life different? Our fresh commissioning, our restart, our new beginning, our new adventure overflows in our time with the Lord. So let's just stand up. Nevin, if you don't mind with your worship team, we're going to worship together. And what I want you to do this, and I just got so much to tell you, but we have no time. We have no time. Praise God. I want you to think about the promises of God. And I want you, and the altars are open if you guys want to come forward and worship. In fact, actually, let's do it. Let's do it. Right? Sometimes you got to do something different. So let's, come on, everybody come on up. And we're gonna sing one song. And what I want you to do is I want you to say, God, what are your dreams for me? What are your promises for me? What do you want to do with my life? There is a new adventure ahead of you, and it begins in His presence.
You are here working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. Oh, you are here, mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you. Stop. Come on, church. And even when I don't see it, you're working.
Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop.
Oh, you never, never stop working.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop.
Even when, even when I don't see it, you're working.
way maker. And we are never too old. We are never too messy for God to remake our story into something glorious that changes someone else's life. Lord God, we love you. It is a new way for a new day. A divine reset. Take it and run with it. Spend some time with him. Let it overflow. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Jesus, we love you. You guys are just released to shine. Shine like the stars, man. Love y'all.